Theater Forum on Homelessness. That's going to be at Cafe Coda, doors at 7. Welcome to the KZFR, Rob Davidson.
Hey, Guillermo, it's great to be here.
Yeah, it's really good to have you. And we also, I actually just turned your mic on, Rob. You can say it again. We'll get to this then. Look at that.
Hi, Guillermo. It's good to be here.
It's community-powered radio, man. Hey, Sam Keller, nice to see you, man. Sam's going to be the person representing the houseless community. And Sam's been our guest commentator all month, so it's been happy having you in here, Sam.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bill. Been looking forward to this Chico's Beast discussion. Really excited to answer some questions.
Mm-hmm. All right, getting a little feedback. Rob, give us like a 30-second, 45-second thumbnail, man. What are we gonna have tonight?
Sure.
At Coda, Cafe Coda?
We have a really special event. It's 7 o'clock tonight, Wednesday the 29th of November at Cafe Coda. That's 265 Humboldt Avenue in Chico. And we've put together a panel of speakers who are going to address this question of the homeless and affordable housing in Chico. We have Ed Mayer, Executive Director from the Butte County Housing Authority, Charles Withoon, Director of the Chico Housing Action Team, Lauren Kennedy and Sienna Sanoki from North Valley Housing Trust, and Sam, who's right here with us, who's going to represent the Chico homeless population. So we have a great list of questions that the panelists and some of our interested friends, including you, Guillermo, have contributed. So we're going to address as many of those questions as we can, and then open it up to the floor as well and hear from the audience.
So Sam Keller, what are you hoping folks take away from this forum coming up here in a couple hours?
Perspective. I want them to...
Let's jump on mic one. Something's going on with mic two, man. It's just like, it's got like a demon going on, man. It's like crazy.
I would hope that the average citizen that does live in a house gains some type of perspective. So when I see a person struggling or if I see a person that's doing something that I don't agree with, the first thing I try to do is I try to understand why that person was doing that. And these people do these things because of a lack of options. It's not something they want to do. Mm-hmm. So just a little bit of understanding.
A little bit of understanding goes a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I hope to see as many people as possible. And Charles with you, he's the Simplicity Village. And Lauren and I was telling Rob, the moderator, Lauren and Sienna came in and we did a pre-record, so you're going to hear them at the end. So front of the show, back of the show, all about the Cafe Coda Homeless Forum, and that'll be over there on Humboldt Ave at 7 o'clock. Thanks for coming in, guys.
You bet. I hope to see a lot of people come on out.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, bring your friends.
All right, Sam Keller. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Speaking of the busy night, you know, let's move that mic one over that way for me. Sam, you're a great stagehand here. Sam Keller, you know. You can hang around. We might be able to slip a couple of commentary in there, Sam, unless you have to go. But we're really, really pleased to have in the studio Tara Ames, who is the coordinator for the Butte County Youth Advisory Council. And we have two guests here from a CD release you guys are doing at Blackbird for Sixth Street Records, man. I know you must be excited about that. So welcome to KZFR. Maybe you can introduce these wonderful people we have here, Tara, and I'm hoping your mic's going to work. I got my fingers crossed.
All right, let's hope it works.
It's better.
So my name is Tara Ames, and I'm the facilitator for the Youth Advisory Council.
No, it's not working.
It's not working.
Yeah, use that mic. Thank you.
All right, sorry about that. Tonight we have Sophia and Jeremy, and they're both going to be performing at tonight's CD record release. And I think Jeremy wants to perform something... For us tonight, not this. You don't have to do it this moment.
Okay, cool.
And then Sophia's going to help talk about why people should come.
Mm-hmm.
So all of November was the Runaway and Homeless Youth Awareness Month. We've done a bunch of stuff throughout the community for the last month, and this is our last event. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad that the month is over.
Yeah, it goes quick.
Yeah, but the community had really good. We had really good feedback from everything.
Yeah, we're still getting feedback. I don't know why I've never had trouble, this kind of trouble with the mics here in the studio. It's weird.
Yeah. Anyway. Some of the things that we had this month is we got the proclamations from the cities, and we had community outreach events, which was really fun because we made this stuffed child kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
We just made it full of clothes, and it actually looked like a real person laying on the ground. We handed out at Butte College and Chico State. And we got a lot of interesting reactions from that. And we had a social media campaign. And then tonight, like I said, is the last one with the record release party.
Nice. Jeremy, you're all excited about doing a performance? Jeremy's been in the Homeward Street Journal a few times, and Jeremy, I met Jeremy at Youth for Justice a few years ago. It's always good to see you, man.
Good, always good to see you, too, man. I mean, always love performing for you, so, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm more than happy to, you know, read my piece. If not, it's totally fine.
Well, maybe we give us a few words about what you would give us a few words about what you had contributed to this album.
I actually wrote a few pieces that I do for basically poetry. One was about you know, sleeping on the streets. Another was you know, some personal struggles that I had that year and how I got by them. And tonight I'll probably just be performing, you know, something about being on the streets and like trying to get people's understanding of what it's like, you know, and why we do the things we do, and just trying to tell everyone that, you know, we're human too. Like, we're still people. So that's about it.
Amen. That, what is your name, young lady?
Hello, I'm Sophia. Thanks for having us here. This is really exciting. KZFR is actually my favorite radio station.
It is. It is. And there was no prompt. We did not prompt her to say that. You see,
no, it really is. My favorite.
Nice. And
you can ask my sister. I called her earlier.
Yeah? She's all excited that you're going to be on. She's going to be listening, I hope, right?
So, well, except for the part where she's in Kentucky, so.
She's in Kentucky. She can stream it. KZFR.org.
Oh, my goodness. I should have told her that.
Yeah, you can stream it. Yeah, you can stream it live. We can be heard everywhere.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know these things.
Yeah, yeah, you can be streaming live. Now, what did you contribute to the album?
To the album? I actually got to perform one original and then one medley that I called a Sixth Street. A Sixth Street musical.
Uh-huh.
So it was just the story of my experience coming to the drop-in center, which is, it's a very funny musical because there's a song in there that used to be a bit of my theme song. So it's on the album anyway, so that's fun. But it's also does tell a bit of my story, but I try to keep it lighthearted because it was an open mic, so.
Well, I saw you at open mic. Is it the same, like a different performance of what you'd done at the open mic, like in the summer?
Well, I will be performing the original tonight at the show.
Nice.
So, but not the Sixth Street musical, the other song that I got to, that is on the CD. It will not be performed tonight. But the original, Leather Jacket in June, will be performed tonight at the show, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. I wrote it, and.
Nice.
I actually wrote it this summer, also being here out on the streets, if you want to say it like that.
Yeah, on the streets.
Yeah, it's a funny story, but.
How cool is Sixth Street, guys? We got to give a plug for Sixth Street, don't we?
Honestly, we love them. I don't know where I'd be without Sixth Street. Yeah, really, man. Really great Same. Group of people.
Love
I
those
mean,
guys.
They're dedicated and they really love their job. And yeah, I don't know where I'd be without them, so.
Yeah. All of the staff. Incredible people.
Yeah. Jennifer's been there since the doors opened.
Oh, sure. She's so sweet.
I often say I saw Jennifer last week. I said I saw her down by the market. I said, so there's life outside Sixth Street, Jennifer.
Yeah. And she just
Lorna
Aaron
says hi to
too.
Me outside of Sixth Street
she does.
Too.
She's a wonderful person.
You know, somebody maybe in another life or somebody else if they were running it. I don't know if they would, but Jennifer, she does take the
time. There's good
time.
People there. Yeah. Jennifer, Lauren, Terry, Aaron. Aaron, who couldn't, I'm sorry he couldn't make it because he's probably getting set up for the CD release.
Yeah. Aaron's a great guy. And
Aaron's
Warren.
Awesome, man.
Love Aaron.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Tara, what did you have any, what role did you play in the CD release?
The Youth Advisory Council, the role that they played was that we had a grant called the Pollination Project Grant.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it's for youth-led activities. And what we did is we helped to fund the albums to be made.
Ooh.
And then tonight at the record show, they're going to be on sale for $10 each.
That's a stocking stuffer.
Yeah, and it's a steal. The youth are amazing. I'm so proud of them.
It's a really cool album cover, too.
But the other really neat thing that is happening tonight is we have the patches that are being made. So there was an art contest, and one of the only one was selected, but they're going to be screen printed while we are there, which is really, I've never seen that happen before, but I look forward
That's really
to it.
Neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And so all of the profits are going to help get youth more instruments at the center.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
That's way cool.
I know there's a lot of people that I know that are pretty musically talented.
Yeah, there
playing
is.
On the piano and guitar and everything. So
there is. Yeah. A lot of talent.
A lot of talented artists contributing.
It's a good release for them, too, you know?
Yeah. So get on down. That'll get you, you know, if you've never, you know, been to Blackbird Cafe and Books, 1431 Park Avenue, it rocks. And it's going to be rocking extra hard because there's going to be a whole bunch of cool youth there, and plus the staff.
And Jonathan Richman.
Jonathan Richman's going to be in there. Yeah. And the Writing for Donut guy, right? Josh is going to be there.
Josh will be there.
No, Writing for Donuts trumps Jonathan Richman, I think. Josh Yundar is awesome. All right, man, let's wrap up with a spoken word, Jeremy.
Oh,
what
okay.
We got here, man?
Always ready.
Give it up. Give it up
if
for
I stutter,
Jeremy.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't have a name for it yet. I kind of just freeballed it before I came.
Nice,
so.
Dude.
Here it goes. When I was 19, I lost everything, including my happiness and self-esteem. I spent most of my days wondering what I was going to eat, and most of my nights wondering where I was going to sleep. Spanging outside the bars because I wasn't allowed in Safeway anymore. Asking for someone else's money made me feel like less of a human being. Made me feel as if the struggle was never ending. I even did things just to get me by that landed me with jail time. Like I said, when I was 19, I lost everything. But now I'm almost 22, and thanks to the struggle, I'm more humble than ever. I've been stabbed while taking a nap, seen death firsthand, but honest to God, I would do it all again, because that struggle made me a man. I'm not perfect, never said I am, but I'm only a man. But God damn it, I'm proud of who I am. Mm-hmm. Keep your chin up and chest out, because I promise you, things get better in the end.
I'm so proud of all you guys, man. Proud of Sixth Street Records, proud of Sixth Street itself, and I'm proud to, you know, just have you guys on the show, and it's always cool. It's always cool to see you, Jeremy.
Oh, thank
alrighty,
you,
guys. I'll see you in a little bit.
Thank
over.
You so much for having
all right,
us.
Good night. Thank you.
We'll have to have you back on, okay? We want you to perform. You're coming on another Without a Roof, okay?
Really?
We're gonna perform. Absolutely.
Well, okay.
Your favorite radio station, because we got to make sure your sister in Kentucky gets a chance to hear you live.
That would be phenomenal.
It would be. We'll make that happen. Thanks a lot, Tara.
Without a Roof radio program made possible. Generous contributions to KZFR supporters and by the Chico News and Review, providing Northern California with news, commentary, and entertainment. Chico News and Review is available for free every Thursday at over 600 locations throughout Butte, Glen, and Tehama counties. And at
Guillermo Mash here
for the November 29th edition of the Without a Roof radio program. And we're here in the studio with Susanna Boxall, a faculty member at Chico State University. Welcome to KZFR, Susanna.
Thank you for having me.
And Susanna is here about something that's near and dear to this program and near and dear to my heart, but we're going to be talking about a California Faculty Association, sponsored by California Faculty Association, but it's the CFA Social Justice Speaker Series on homelessness, and that's going to be Friday, 12-1, in Arts 111 on campus, and it starts at 5 p.m., and we think it's going to about 7 p.m. What more do we need to know, Susanna Boxall?
Since this is happening in the arts building, this is the new building. For the folks who are not familiar with the campus, that's the big, great building right next to the Madison Bear Garden. And this event, like you said, is sponsored by the California Faculty Association, that's the faculty union, and is part of our social justice series. And every semester, we have one or two panels where we talk about important social justice events. We have talked about, you know, the Mechoobda tribe. We have talked about white privilege. And on Friday, December 1st, we're talking about homelessness, which is a very pressing issue in Chico and the community at large, but also when it comes to our students, since recent studies have shown that shelter insecurity and food insecurity are big problems for the student body.
So, Susanna Boxall, before we jump in here, you know, maybe a little bit about how you got involved in this project and what it means to you.
I've been a member of the Chico community for 17 years. So I've been here since August of 2000, and I think that people who have been in Chico for a long time, we have seen Chico change. For those of us who have been here for over a decade, I think we remember a time when homelessness was not as pervasive and prevalent as it is now, and it has been a gradual change that accelerated, I think, with the financial crisis in 2008, 2009. So if you walk around downtown, if you are present here in Chico, you know that homelessness is a big problem.
It sure is. I mean, you've got three prompts here. for the physical series itself. I'm going to read them real quick and maybe land and have you speak to them. But the first one was, what is the state of homelessness in Chico? How does it affect our students? And what should we do to address homelessness? So let's start with the first one. What is the state of homelessness in Chico as you see it, Susanna Boxall?
I see that the number of homeless people has spiked in the last several years. I think that the like I mentioned earlier, the financial crisis sped up homelessness, and which is not something that we see only in Chico. We know that this is a nationwide trend, that homelessness has increased across the country. And I see a lot of attempts to do something about it, but I do not see actual solutions proposed to address homelessness. So we know that homelessness has increased, and a lot of people are angry to see the homeless downtown because they're not aesthetically pleasing. We have, you know, we know that homelessness and crime sometimes go hand in hand, homeless being pushed out of the downtown areas into the neighborhoods. So homelessness has increased, and we have tried to do something about the homelessness, but the numbers keep increasing, and we don't seem to be, at least from my perspective, taking steps to actually mitigate the problem, what is causing homelessness.
Yeah, nothing ends homelessness like a home.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. People don't have homes, just put them in homes.
You know, we could make it really, really complicated about all the things that causes homelessness and things we need to address, but you're always going to be homeless unless you have a physical address that you're on a lease, you're on a mortgage, you're on, you know, something of legal title.
Exactly.
It's the only way to end homelessness. Maybe a quick little stop, because you'd mentioned, like, sometimes homelessness goes hand in hand with crime. What did you mean around that?
I just think that if you are homeless and you know, you don't have resources. I mean, clearly, if you are on the streets, you're mm-hmm. poor. You are, yeah. You know, you do not have a steady income that can cover all of your necessities. So I know that, for example, there has been a drive to push the homeless out of the downtown area because they're a nuisance to business owners, that we had started seeing for those of us who live, you know, in the surrounding areas, you know, maybe a couple of miles away from downtown, that we see homeless people roaming sometimes the neighborhoods. And for example, I have had my car broken into twice. Now, I don't mean to say that homeless are criminal, but when you put people in a situation where they lack the social resources to provide for themselves, it's not surprising that some of them may commit, you know, small, you know, petty property crimes. Mm-hmm. That is what I had in mind.
Lloyd Pendleton, who came through here a couple of years ago, actually kind of prefaced it kind of like this. Unfortunately, obviously, I'm ad-libbing. Unfortunately, a lot of times the criminals infiltrate the homeless community, because literally the homeless community is comprised of, by my 6 years of research, Susanna, people that are just really down and out and quote-unquote law-abiding citizens. And I know you know that, but I just wanted to kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I didn't mean to imply that the homeless are criminals. And I think that there's another layer to that particular, you know, claim about homelessness and criminality. I think it's problematic that when we make homelessness a crime, then suddenly all homeless folks
are criminals,
but it's because we have made that a crime, not because homelessness is inherently criminal.
That's an excellent, excellent point to make. As we shift to the next one, how does it affect our students, the CSUC students?
Well, I think that it has come to a shock of many faculty members to realize the impact that these very sharp tuition increases have had in our students. I think it's a huge number if we're talking about, you know, 1 in 4, 1 in 5 students being food insecure. And I know that I have had students in my classes who have had to make the choice between, do I go to school or do I pay rent? And because they value education and they know how important it is for their futures, they have chosen to continue to pay tuition to come to class, but they have had to give up shelter and they have had to sleep on campus in order to continue going to school. The impact of homelessness on students, it has been quite deep. And of course, when you do not have a place to sleep, that impacts your ability to perform well in school. And it's heartbreaking that students are having to make the choice between their education and putting food on the table, or their education and having a roof over their heads.
Yeah, not to mention the stress that it puts on them, you know, being physically homeless. I've been to only two survival classes in my life, but both of those survival classes really hammered home the first thing you need is shelter. Shelter, shelter, shelter. First thing you should be looking for is shelter. So if we got students going to college without shelter, there's a big problem with that.
You know? Yes, absolutely. And I think that this generation is feeling the impact of our economic situation, the tuition increases like no other generation before. You know, we used to talk about, I graduated in 2005. I came here in the early 2000s and I got my degree. And I think I'm part of a generation of students who was able to work the summers and live, you know, me, you know, in a very Spartan way. But I never felt threatened in terms of losing my home or not being able to put food on the table. But students these days, they are literally starving students. They are literally homeless students who are couch surfing, who are sleeping in their cars just because, you know, the belt keeps cinching and cinching and cinching, and they're getting squeezed out.
Listeners just joining, we are listening and speaking with Susanna Boxall, and she is with the CSU faculty. And we're talking about a upcoming event, CFA Social Justice Speaker Series on Homelessness, Friday, 12-1, Arts Building 111 at 5 p.m. And we're going to end this short little conversation with a really important thing of, you know, what should we do to address homelessness?
I think that the first step before we talk about any kind of policy issues is we need to empathize and recognize the humanity among homeless people, that these folks are not failures, they're not criminals. These folks could be us if we had a really unfortunate personal tragedy. So stop demonizing the homeless. I think that's the first step. And I think the second step may seem obvious. I mean, of course, when people are hungry, give them food. If they need a coat, give them a coat. So all of these services need to be provided. But at the most fundamental level, people need to have shelter. And I don't mean like a bed to sleep at night. Again, these are emergency measures. But what are we doing to give people permanent shelter? I know that there's folks out there, you know, who are proposing having tiny house villages, and we know that these experiments around the country are working, that they're very successful, but I don't know whether Chico is there yet in terms of taking seriously the claim that the silver bullet to end homelessness is to give people homes.
Yeah, it's almost amazing. Listeners just joining, that was Susanna Boxall with the Chico State Faculty Association and the contact person for the Social Justice Speaker Series on Homelessness this Friday, 5 p.m., Arts 111 in the new Arts Building. Free and open to the public, and we hope to see you there. Also, please note that this was a condensed version of the interview. There's about four more minutes to this, the extended interview, and that will be up on the archives on the KZFR.org.
Jim, I'm actually here for the November 29th Without a Roof Radio program. Real pleased to have two people that I respect and cherish, community members Lauren Kennedy and Sianna Sonoki from North Valley Housing Trust, which is a community-based funding project for affordable housing and associated programs. Welcome to KZFR, ladies.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Awesome. You're both going to be in the speaker series, the Chico Speaker Series, as forum members tonight, right? Over there at Cafe Coda.
Yes.
I think it starts at 7. Is that what it is? 7?
That's correct.
A reporter reached out to me, said, hey, what do you think of this forum? So this is how I responded. So there's two questions. I responded to them. I said, I'm going in with my eyes and ears open for the story while harboring a clear understanding that the time for action is now. Maybe a little bit around the urgency.
Yeah. Well, I mean, timing-wise, we're getting into the coldest winter months. This is when people die. I think every year somebody's probably died in this community related to exposure or being outside. We have less than 1% vacancy rate in this community. From what we observe, unsheltered people, the population is just growing in this community. So it's very urgent.
What would you add, Lauren?
It's been urgent for years. It's been urgent for a long time. Yeah. I have been struck this year by the point in time survey results, which saw the, I can't remember the exact percentage. It was big. It's like 70%.
Mm-hmm.
There was a jump in people who were homeless in Butte County just last year. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge number of people. A lot of them are from Butte County. So we
vast
have
majority.
That. And then at the same time, it feels like, and this is a little bit more anecdotal, but just from attending council meetings, from responding to Facebook comments, from talking to people around town, it seems like the divide is growing also. There's a sense of us versus them that feels very damaging to everybody's needs and interests in this community. So that feels like the urgent piece to address for me, too, to really see what we can do to keep that divide from growing.
That dovetails perfectly into my second response, because I really want folks to come out tonight, 7 p.m. Cafe Coda, for this forum around the issue of homelessness and affordable housing. But I've been to a few of these things, and these things tend to be preaching to the choir. So before you answer, people that are listening go, well, I don't want it to be preaching to the choir either. So find someone that is on that other divide and try to get them into Cafe Coda. But what would you say around preaching to the choir and making sure we get folks that show up on all sides of this issue, or all opinions?
I think that's really important. Yeah. I think there's lots of ways to do that. I think an even more pressing issue is to include folks that are actually currently homeless in the discussion. Mm-hmm. Having the event at night is tough because people are often trying to set up camp at that time. And so we need to find ways in this community to get more people who are actually experiencing this to be involved in talking about solutions. I believe that's where a lot of the answers are.
And then you're going to be at the one by the Faculty Association on Friday on campus, right?
Yes.
And that one's at 5 o'clock?
It's at 5 o'clock.
Nice. Any closing comments?
Yeah, I hope everybody will come out tonight. The great part of the format of the Slow Theater series is that it's a really community-driven discussion, so there won't be much preaching. It'll be a chance for people to ask whatever questions they have and to drive the conversation. And yeah, definitely we want all opinions there, but I think there's nobody that has a full grasp of the situation, regardless of the choir there, and everybody stands to learn and do better. I'd say even, like Sianna said, this event, which even by having the conversation is advocating for solutions, is held in a place that restricts access to homeless people at a time where they're not able to attend. So I feel like we all, including me, we all have things to learn and ways we could do better.
What about you, Sianna?
I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of the people on the panel are people from the area of housing. So this is really a housing discussion, too. There's a lot of knowledge there. But overall, I just hope that we can kind of raise the collective intelligence of our community in general by talking to each other more. So we're all on the same page as much as we can be when we're discussing things.
Sianna's so busy. You're actually in the choir this weekend, too, at First Christian on the 3rd on the June at Justice. Maybe a little ditty on that before we close.
So Doing It Justice, Rockin' Acapella 2, SOS to the World, is happening on Sunday, 7 p.m., December 3rd, First Christian Church, and it is a benefit for Chico Housing Action Team.
I should like to add, too, since it seems like such a priority in this whole discussion is being able to humanize the issue, working directly with people who are going through homelessness, I think, is the best way to do that. And with Safe Space starting up, there's an opportunity that's really easy for people to volunteer if they want to know more about people's situations, if they want to know more about the work being done to help. Safe Space is going to be opening December 10th. And if people want to know more and just want to start getting into this issue a little bit more, volunteering for Safe Space is a great way to do it because you'll have a ton of support and a lot of different ways to plug in.
Yeah, actually, as I think about this, when I do the archive for this show that you're listening to right now, I'll put a link to last week's show, the Thanksgiving show, which is actually 40 minutes, which was nearly everyone in that 40 minutes was houseless or formerly houseless. I think it was one of the best shows I've done all year. So when hit the archive, share the archive. So like I said, you know, getting some will and wear around this, you know, tell your friends about the show and point them to the archive, which is out on KZFR.org under Wednesday Programs Without a Roof.
I just want to say thanks for all your work.
Yeah, you too, ladies.
Thank you.
Listeners just joining, we were just having a studio pre-record conversation with Sianna Soniki, Outreach Coordinator for North Valley Housing Trust, and Lauren Kennedy, who is the Executive Director, and they're both going to be on a homeless forum panel, Homeless in Chico, a Chico Speaks series, tonight, 7 p.m. at Cafe Coda. 265 Humboldt Ave. Get on down there.
Non-Human Radio was made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the local seasonal and organic delights at Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan, oh yes, vegan, and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch, noon on Saturday and Sunday, and for dinner 7 nights a week with live music on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. They're located at 2359 The Esplanade. Visit farmstarpizza.com or like them on Facebook. And we're made possible by the Downtown Chico Business Association, presenting the Community Christmas Tree Lighting on Friday, December 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. This annual Chico tradition features a giant 90-foot redwood tree with over 2,000 lights, live holiday music, and a visit from Santa. Details for the Community Christmas Tree Lighting can be found at downtownchico.com.